There must be something, Elizabeth said. They were all three looking at me. So I shrugged and gave them a story about checking a Pentagon budget and seeing $8,000 charges for maintenance tools called RTAFAs. I told them I was bored enough to be curious, and I'd made a couple of calls and been told the acronym stood for Rotational Torque Adjustable Fastener Applicators. I told them I had tracked one down and found a $3 screwdriver. That had led to $3,000 hammers, $1,000 toilet seats, the whole nine yards. It's a good story. It's the sort of thing that suits any audience. Most people respond to the audacity, and anti-government types get deceived. But it isn't true. It happened, I guess, but not to me. It was a different department entirely.
Have you killed people?
Richard asked. Four in the last 3 days, I thought.
Don't ask questions like that, Elizabeth said.
The soup is good, Beck said.
Maybe not enough cheese.
Dad.
What?
You need to think about your arteries. They're going to get all clogged up.
They're my arteries.
And you're my dad.
They glanced at each other. They both smiled, shy smiles. Father and son. Best buddies. Ambivalence. It was all set to be a long meal. Elizabeth changed the subject away from cholesterol. She started talking about the Portland Museum of Art instead. She said it had an IMP building and a collection of American and Impressionist masters. I couldn't tell if she was trying to educate me or to tempt Richard to get out of the house and do something. I tuned her out. I wanted to get to the sob, but I couldn't right then. So I tried to predict exactly what I would find there. Like a game. I heard Leon Garber in my head.
Think about everything you've seen and everything you've heard. Work the clues.
I hadn't heard much, but I had seen a lot of things. I guessed they were all clues of a sort. The dining table, for instance. The whole house and everything in it. The cars. The Saab was a piece of junk. The Cadillac and the Lincolns were nice automobiles, but they weren't Rolls-Royces and Bentleys. The furniture was all old and dull and solid. Not cheap, but then it didn't represent current expenditure anyway. It was all paid for long ago. What had Elliot said in Boston about the L.A. gangbanger? His profits must run to millions of dollars a week? He lives like an emperor? Beck was supposed to be a couple of rungs up the ladder, but Beck didn't live like an emperor. Why not? Because he was a cautious Yankee, unimpressed by consumer baubles?
Look,
he said. I surfaced and saw him holding his cell phone out to me. I took it from him and looked at the screen. The signal strength was back up to 4 bars.
Microwaves, I said. Maybe they ramp up slowly.
Then I looked again. No envelopes, no reel-to-reel tapes, no voicemail messages. But it was a tiny phone, and I have big thumbs, and I accidentally touched the up-down arrow key underneath the screen. The display instantly changed to a list of names. His virtual phone book, I guessed. The screen was so small it could show only 3 contacts at a time. At the top was House. Then came Gate. Third on the list was Xavier. I stared at it so hard the room went silent around me, and blood roared in my ears.
The soup is very good,
Richard said. I handed the phone back to Beck. The cook reached across in front of me and took my bowl away. The first time I ever heard the name Xavier was the 6th time I ever saw Dominique Cole. It was 17 days after we danced in the Baltimore bar. The weather had broken, the temperature had plummeted, and the skies were gray and miserable. She was in full dress uniform. For a moment, I thought I must have scheduled a performance review and forgotten all about it. But then, I had a company clerk to remind me about stuff like that, and he hadn't mentioned anything.
You're going to hate this,
Cole said.
Why? You got promoted and you're shipping out?
She smiled at that. I realized it had come out as more of a personal compliment than I should have risked.
I found the bad guy.
How?
Exemplary application of relevant skills.
I looked at her. Did we schedule a performance review?
No, but I think we should.
Why?
Because I found the bad guy. And I think performance reviews always go better just after a big break in a case.
You're still working with Frasconi, right?
We're partners, she said, which wasn't strictly an answer to the question.
Is he helping?
She made a face. Permission to speak freely?
I nodded.
He's a waste of good food.
I nodded again. That was my impression, too. Lieutenant Anthony Frasconi was solid, but he wasn't the crispest shirt in the closet.
He's a nice man. I mean, don't get me wrong.
But you're doing all the work.
She nodded.
She was holding the original file, the one that I had given her, just after I found out she wasn't the big, ugly guy from Texas or Minnesota. It was bulging with her notes.
You helped, though. You were right. The document in question is in the newspaper. Gorowski dumps the whole newspaper in a trash can at the parking lot exit. Same can, 2 Sundays in a row.
And?
And 2 Sundays in a row, the same guy fishes it out again.
I paused. It was a smart plan, except that the idea of fishing around in a garbage can gave it a certain vulnerability, a certain lack of plausibility. The garbage can thing is hard to do, unless you're willing to go the whole way and dress up like a homeless person. And that's hard to do in itself, if you want to be really convincing. Homeless people walk miles, spend all day, check every can along their route. To imitate their behavior plausibly takes infinite time and care.
What kind of a guy? I said. I know what you're thinking. Who roots around in trash cans except street people, right?
So who does?
Imagine a typical Sunday. A lazy day. You're strolling. Maybe the person you're meeting is a little late. Maybe the impulse to go out for a walk has turned out to be a little boring. But the sun is shining, and there's a bench to sit on. And you know the Sunday papers are always fat and interesting, but you don't happen to have one with you.
Okay, I'm imagining.
Have you noticed how a used newspaper kind of becomes community property? Seen what they do on a train, for instance? Or a subway? A guy reads his paper, leaves it on the seat when he gets out. Another guy picks it up right away. He'd rather die than pick up half a candy bar, but he'll pick up a used newspaper with no problem at all.
Okay.
Our guy is about 40. Tall, maybe 6'1". Trim, maybe 190. Short black hair, going gray, fairly upmarket. He wears good clothes, chinos, golf shirts, and he kind of saunters through the lot to the can.
Saunters?
It's a word. Like he's strolling, lost in thought, not a care in the world. Like maybe he's coming back from Sunday brunch. Then he notices the newspaper sitting in the top of the can, and he picks it up and checks the headlines for a moment, and he kind of tilts his head a little, and he puts the paper under his arm like he'll read some more of it later, and he strolls on,
saunters on.
It's incredibly natural. I was right there watching it happen, and I almost discounted it. It's almost subliminal.